Tommy John joins us on Sports Byline USA. He pitched in the major leagues for 25 years with the Indians, White Sox, Dodgers, Yankees, Angels, and the Athletics, and 14 of those 25 years spent with the Dodgers or the Yankees. You know, Tommy, anytime I see an athlete that has been able to perform double-digit years, they've got my respect. When I see that they've been able to perform for more than 20 years, I just kind of shake my head. Does it surprise you that you were able to pitch effectively as long as you were?
Well, if you would have seen me when I signed my professional contract in 1961 after graduating high school in Terre Haute, Indiana, I was 355 pounds. You would have said there's no way this guy is even going to make 1 month into the baseball season. But thank God I did. And, you know, it's funny. I don't even know to this day if I would be a workout freak like a lot of these guys are, you know, lifting of the weights and stuff. I did what I knew I was good at, and I practiced what I was not good at. And when I got in ball games, I just stayed with what I was good at. And I think we get away from that in baseball. I think we try to invent a four-pitch, five-pitch pitcher, and all you really need is to be a good two-pitch or two-and-a-half-pitch pitcher, and you can do quite well.
Let me take you back to Terre Haute, Indiana, because that's the breadbasket of America. It's right in the heartland, and I'm familiar with it, by the way. Most people know it because of basketball, but take me back to Terre Haute, growing up there, and your baseball, early days of your baseball life.
Well, my mom and dad signed me up for City Rec Baseball when I was 8 years old, and I was anxiously, every Sunday, I was looking at the Sunday newspaper to see what team I was put on, and I found out what team I was on, and then I looked up the schedule on Sunday to see when we played the following week and what fields we were on, and that's how I started. And the next year, my dad kind of, in fact, the teams were coached. Now get this. The teams were coached by kids. There were no adults coaching. You just had maybe some of the older kids were coaching, and they would make the lineups. It didn't make any difference. I think a couple times I may have played third base and shortstop, but you just went out and played ball and hit and pitched and ran and threw, and then I went through the cycle of Little League, Babe Ruth League, American Legion ball, and it was when I got to be an American Legion ball at 16, 17, that I started to really blossom as a pitcher. I started to get a little weight on me and a little size, and I started to throw the ball harder. But I was never really a hard thrower. Cleveland signed me on on my curveball, and they signed me to a contract base that they said you had a major league curveball. And I told that story to the Midland A's, and I told the farm director, I said, Billy Bean would never have drafted me, would he? And the guy says, not on a curveball. And I said, well, with all of Billy's intelligence and all of his brilliance, he missed 288 wins. So tell him that there's more than just fastballs out there. And, you know, but I was signed on a curveball. And baseball was something that you did from March to August to have something to do in between basketball seasons. Because like you said, I had about 50 scholarship offers in basketball, and I had one in baseball. And so that tells you of my baseball prowess and my basketball prowess. But I found out that 6'3" white guys that couldn't jump very well didn't have a long life in basketball.
What was your first contract for?
Well, I signed a bonus contract with Cleveland in 61, and they gave me $40,000 bonus. Well, you know, if you go back 61, it's 51 years ago, that was a lot of money. But my first contract was for $750 a month for 2.5 months. And when I got to the big leagues, my first contract was $7,000 minimum salary. I was 2-9 with Cleveland, and I got traded to the White Sox, and I didn't dare to ask for more money. I should have, but I didn't. And I signed, and I played with the White Sox for $7,000, and I was 14-7 my first year with White Sox. and they gave me a bump all the way up to 11,000. And then I was 14 and 11, and they bumped me all the way up to 14,000. And, I mean, because back then you had no bargaining power. You had none. It was, they gave you a contract, and it was to take it or leave it. So you signed for what they wanted to pay you, and not for what you were worth within the league like they have to now.
As you said, you signed out of high school in 1961. You made your debut in 1963 for the Indians. That stadium that you played in right on the lake could be an Yeah, you're laughing. Go ahead. Tell me your first impression of Lakefront Stadium.
Well, the first time I saw it, you know, it's 75,000, 76,000. And Cleveland had a game going on that maybe had 3,500 people in it. Well, you put 3,500, maybe 5,000 in a stadium that seats 75,000. There's nobody there, you know. And it's just, it was like you were playing a game in a stadium that there wasn't anybody there. But, you know, your first time in, you know, you're pumped and you're ready to go. In fact, my first game in the big league was in Washington, D.C., and they called me into the ball game, and I could not get – I'd never seen a lock like that on a gate because we didn't have locks like that back in Terre Haute. And I had no idea how to get the lock out, and I went, oh, God, I'm going to have to call somebody and have to let them unlock the gate for me. And I kept shaking it, and – there had to be some divine intervention or whatever, but the gate popped open, and I trotted out on the field. And the first guy I faced was a guy named Freddie Valentine, and the second guy I faced was a shortstop. He wasn't fat then; he was a good shortstop, name of Don Zimmer.
What were the fans like in Cleveland back then during those tough days?
Apathetic. It was just, you know, they were enthusiastic at the start of the season. And then as the season wore on and you kept losing, they would lose interest. The Yankees would come in, you would draw 25,000 maybe. The Tigers would come in, you would draw, you know, maybe 20,000. Red Sox couldn't draw flies, and nobody else would draw very well. But the Yankees drew extremely well. And, you know, but Cleveland could never decide how they wanted to go about with their team. They were going to go with the youth movement. And so they brought in all of us young guys, Max Alves, Larry Brown, Vic Davalio, Sonny Siebert, McDowell, myself, Steve Hargan. And then they could never go with that because the fans, like I said, were apathetic. They wanted, so Gabe Paul traded Tommy Agee, myself, and John Romano in 65, right before spring training, to the White Sox for Rocky Colavito, the coveted Cleveland hero, and in hopes that, you know, he could jumpstart their team, you know, and give them a little something going and draw some fans in. But, you know, that works for maybe the first homestand, maybe the second homestand, and then after a while the fans start to see that it's the same old team. You know, but then they brought in managers like Alvin Dark and all this, and they went with pitching, moved the fences way back, had good pitching. Well, that didn't work. And then they moved the fences in and went with hitting, and that didn't work. And, you know, they finally, with the present people and Ron Shapiro and them, they worked on a program that they just went with the youth and built from within and added a few, free agents and, you know, and have done quite well.
Tommy, in about 45 seconds, tell me about your stay in Chicago, how you like that.
Absolutely loved it. Outside of New York City, it's the best place I ever played. It's just the fans are great. The fans are outstanding. Plus, it was close to home, and Mom and Dad and my friends and everybody could come up and see me, and, you know, we could go out and have dinner. But it's the best. It was great. I'd love it.
And Comiskey Park had a real feel to it as well, didn't it?
It did. It was an old stadium. it really smelled good around batting practice time, because they were cooking sausages and hamburgers and stuff downstairs, and the smell would come out on the field. It was really quite good, but you know, it was an old decrepit ballpark. The clubhouse was really small, really, really, really small, and it was a fun place to play. I was hoping at the end I had a chance to get traded to the Cubs, and Dallas Green turned the trade down, but I was hoping to get to go back there and end my career in Chicago.
We're talking with a man that pitched in the major leagues for 25 years. Tommy John is with us as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.